This morning, as we prepare to encounter God's word, let us begin with prayer. O holy God, you have given us your word to guide us, to lead us. It is truly a lamp for our feet, a light to our paths. May these words be so as well. Amen. Our lectionary text today comes from the Gospel of St. Mark. Today we have our 6th and 7th graders up in the balcony, and they've already studied this text. So you could, if you're a parent when you go home, you can quiz them what they learned there compared to what they hear here. It could be two separate things. Is this particular passage, Jesus as his disciples in a village called Caesarea Philippi, and it's known for its pagan worship. And Jesus is asking the disciples, you know, we're in this area. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter answers, and Jesus represses any sensationalism of his answer. And then he goes on to teach them and saying, the Son of Man has to suffer, and the Son of Man must die. And Peter does not like that idea, that answer at all. It was not the Messiah that he had in mind. Is it the Messiah that we have in mind as we read these words? Hear the words of Scripture. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they answered him, John the Baptist. Others say, no, Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets. And he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answers him, you are the Messiah. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he said this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if you want to become my followers, then let you deny yourselves and take up your cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? This is the word of the Lord. Well, part of my task is learning a lot of new faces and names and people. And to begin with, I just see names, Bill, Susan, Ted, Mary, on and on. But it doesn't take long after a short conversation that I go, wow, this is who you are. Wow, that's wonderful. How wonderful. The exciting part of what I do is getting to know the people of who you are. And so Jesus turns this around, and he's not asking who they are, but he's saying, who do people say that I am? And Peter, impetuous Peter, he's the first one with his hand to go up saying, you are the Messiah. Among all of the disciples, Peter gets it. He understands Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah on his way to Jerusalem to claim his crown. Surely, surely, he's the Messiah, the one who was sent to save the Jews from Roman occupation and to help the people, the Jewish people, from all their problems. At long last, Messiah, Jesus, stand up, claim your title. But right after he says these words, the very next words out of Jesus' mouth didn't set too well with Peter. Jesus began to teach them that Messiah, Jesus, Son of Man, would have to suffer. He would be rejected, and he would be killed. And here's Peter, who just moments before was very sure of what he knew, is now thrown into confusion. And he's saying, God forbid. That's not what I had in mind for Messiah. It's different. And Jesus then reacts to Peter's strong words, and he says, Peter, you're like Satan. Get behind. In other words, Peter, you are not on God's side. You are from a human point of view. A human point of view is where the power hungry, the elites, will do anything to protect their position. And Jesus is saying, the other side, God's side, shows that there is a power, God's power, that is available outside of the power structures that this world knows. And yet the disciples had gotten lured into this idea that they could go rule with Jesus, rule over people as Messiah, as leaders. And this is the struggle that our passage has at the heart of our scripture. Let us pray. O God of our hopes and our fears, teach us what Messiah, following you, means when you say, take up your cross and follow me. Amen. You know, we ask, how is it that the church even today, like Peter, can come up with the right answer but still be wrong? Can we? We say boldly, Jesus, you are the Messiah, and that is no small revelation. And still some folks, when we think of Jesus, they think of John the Baptist preaching hellfire and brimstone. Or they think of Elijah, a message that speaks of wrath of God and speaks of the fear of God. And so are we seeing Jesus for who he really is? The anointed one, the Christ, the Savior, the one born in a miraculous way and performed miracles, healed the lame, the sick. And the moment I think we just about get it, all of a sudden we too have to face the reality that this Jesus is going to a cross, is going to suffer and die, be rejected. And he's saying, you must come with me. And I think that's a reality none of us want to face. Jesus is picking up his cross, and he's urging us to pick up our cross as well. And it changes our view of who we think the Savior could be, because we're like Peter. Our expectation is that the Savior will help us with all of our problems, with our expectations, and now suffer rejection, death. And it's not just about Jesus, it's also about his disciples, which means it's about us. Now, when I say that the church can get it wrong, I think that so often churches want to be Easter churches, and we celebrate Easter, the resurrection, in a powerful way. But sometimes we like to go from Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and we jump over to Easter Sunday, and we don't want to go through the graveyard and go through the suffering and death of Christ. We find it difficult to do that. We want to be Easter people. But the Son of Man is saying, no, you must go through the Via Dolorosa, through the suffering with Jesus, that when we think of the cross, the definition of what it means to follow Jesus is to follow him to his death. Yes, to the cross. I think that none of us would want to be with Jesus on that road that day, the path that no one wants to take. And so all week I've been struggling with a question. What does it mean to follow Jesus, to take up my cross? I tried to put it into first person, me, pick up my cross. What is this saying to me? And so I think, okay, I like my life. I feel I'm one of these that feel that every decade is better than the decade before, so I'm basically a very happy person. I like my marriage. I married way above myself, and I'm delighted with my marriage most days. I adore that we have two daughters, but it drives me crazy that sometimes they act like me. And I enjoy being your interim pastor. It's a great honor that I fully did not expect at this time of life. And I think, God, you have blessed me with great joys, great honors. And yet I also realize all too well that life carries with it difficulties and no one is escape. It has happened and it will happen again. But when I think about the cross, I think the cross goes deeper than happiness or major concerns or problems. What does it mean to carry your cross? I think for me, one of the things is that it means that God is pushing me beyond my comfort level to sometimes preach on things that may not be popular or easy, because this is a wonderful, insightful congregation. And so you challenge me week after week as I think about your interim time. What is it that God is asking of us during this time to continue being the church that we are to be here in Lincoln? I think about the cross, and I believe that together we must think about our church in terms of mission and not maintenance. We have to care as much about feeding hungry people as we care about making the church budget. We are called to love the people who need the church, whom God sends our way, as well as the people who support the church. Taking up our cross means that we must care for one another as a family of faith, as well as caring for those who may not have a family. Picking up our cross, we are called to speak about our faith when it would be comfortable to be silent. Sometimes it's being willing to risk being known for what you believe in your words or in your actions. It's recognizing that your identity cannot be separated from your Christology, who you are as a child of Christ. Peter had to answer that question, and so do we, every one of us, which means that we need to consciously be thinking more about loving than being loved, more about understanding than being understood, and more about forgiving than being forgiven. Following the cross, I think, means also worshiping in a world that wants to be entertained. It means caring for those, perhaps, who've made some terrible mistakes. It means doing good when there is no applause, sharing food with the hungry, holding hands that may be stiffened with arthritis, listening to pain of someone who has just experienced grief, treating someone who feels discarded with respect. I think Jesus calls us to pick up our cross, follow him, and not be afraid. The voice is not promising safety, but it's promising life. It never offers us freedom from pain, but it offers us freedom from fear. The cross that is laid on many of us come with many challenges, sacrifices, and suffering, for it is in dying that we live. In suffering, we have great gain. But we don't go out and just choose to suffer and die for the sake of suffering and dying. That's good works, and that is not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus sees the opposite. And I think my challenge for you today is that you carry the cross that is just laid right before you. So often we think we have to look for a cross to carry, We think we must find our cross. And we hear, do something, don't just stand there. But I think what Jesus is saying, don't do anything, just stand there and let God lead. Our job is to pick up the cross that is before us, and we don't have to handle it alone. All we have to do is to believe that God will guide us, lead us, and that our fear is less if we carry the cross that God is asking us to carry. To carry the cross means we do not have to control people or things. If we lose our life, we gain in Christ. We do not have to earn or beg for our self-worth. It is given to us by a God who loves us, a God who loves us abundantly and has proved that love so much that Jesus was willing to go to the cross for us. Amen.